There is no truth and no benefit in embroidering words which seem to deny that which has happened. There is no benefit in believing that those we have lost are simply asleep, or that they have only temporarily gone away. Death is a brutal enough wrench without adding the frustration of hopeless hope. According to our rabbis, there are 10 strong elements in our world. The mountain is strong, but iron will break it. Iron is strong, but fire can melt it. Fire is strong, but water can extinguish it. Water is strong, but clouds can lift it up. Clouds are strong, but the winds scatter them. The wind is strong, but the body can withstand it. The body is strong, but terror can break it. Terror is strong, but wine can drive it out. Wine is strong, but sleep can moderate it. Death, however, is stronger than them all. Simply put, there is no mortal power which can withstand death. For all of our vaunted science and of our modern wisdom, we cannot avoid the grave. And why should we fear to say so? Why should we be afraid to admit that our frame is dust and our end dust? That to love is to lose, and that to draw close is to know the bitterness of parting. Is death really such a frightening prospect? Or is it not rather the elemental in life? A natural thing, a deliberate piece in God's scheme. What was it that the wise man Ben Sira said? Fear not the sentence of death. Remember rather them that have been before you and that come after you, for such is the sentence of the Lord over all flesh. There is no inquisition in the grave whether you have lived 10 or 100 or 1,000 years. As God protects us in birth and in life, so does he shelter and protect us in death and beyond. Our friends, our loved ones have gone a common way. They do not walk alone, nor do they walk a way which God has not charted and designed for them. Let us speak of death straightforwardly. I know that if many had been less evasive or delicate with their loved ones, they would have been far less confused in their grief, far more certain of the next step, of how to regain the ladder which leads from the valley of the shadows back to life. We try, when it is too late, to read what another had in mind, his hopes and his dreams. How much simpler and how much wiser it would have been had we spoken of death and of the burdens which will remain. We recall what the poet divine John Donne wrote. Death, be not proud. Though some have called thee mighty and dreadful, for thou art not so. For those whom thou thinkest thou overthrowest, die not, poor death, nor yet canst thou kill me. This Christian preacher was far more confident than we in a final resurrection. Yet we share his reassurance that those whom thou thinkest thou overthrowest, death, die not. Death does not cancel quality nor vision, the truths that we have said on paper, the truths that we have spoken quietly to our children, the love which we have whispered, our example of patient forbearance and of quiet strength. Like shadows gliding o'er the plain, or clouds that roll successive on, man's busy generations pass, and while we gaze, their forms are gone. He lived, he died. Behold the sum, the abstract of the historian's page. Alike in God's all-seeing eye, the infant's day, the patriarch's age. Our Father, in whose mighty hand the boundless years and ages lie, teach us thy boon of life to prize and use the moments as they fly. Crowd the narrow span of life with wise designs and virtuous deeds. So shall we wake from death's dark night to share the glory that succeeds. A good life, the rabbi said, hath but few days, but a good name endureth forever. The righteous, so they said, are living, even when they are dead. The life of an individual ends, but not the good things which a man has built, nor the high causes which he has served, nor his memory, nor his influence. Think on it. Within the year, our nation has lost a young president, but not his vision of a fairer justice or of a kinder distribution of our abundance. He could not complete his legislation, but it is now the law of our land. And how many, touched with his vision of citizenship, changed their lives to permit broader responsibility. As a congregation, we have lost a rabbi, but only his presence, not his vision. His voice is stilled, but his challenge and his teaching echo and re-echo in this sanctuary, in the quiet of our lives, in the private places of our souls where we were touched by his learning and inspired by his consecration. The righteous are living, even though dead. We may have outlived our family, but they are alive in us. We transcend death not only in the genetic inheritance of our children, but in influence, through the indelible imprint of personality, through our identification with the timeless things of the spirit. And here we touch the fundamental meaning of this service. It is not an occasion to speak some magical incantation for the safety of our dead, nor has it advantage for us if we do no more than open again the floodgates of tears. This is the hour of Hazkara, of remembrance, of Yizkor, of memorial. It is the hour which highlights virtue and quality. Petty grievances have dropped from view. Surrounded by holy things, we see the holiness of another's life, his worth, his dignity, his sacrifice. And we not only recall, but we resolve. We shall not be unworthy of our heritage. We shall not be unworthy of the love which we enjoyed. we shall not be unworthy of the sacrifice made for our benefit. Their work, their love, their aspiration, their hope shall be completed in us. Their dreams are ours. Their love we will lavish on others. This is a tender hour and a private one and a tear-filled one, and yet one which has its own measure, not only of meaning, but of healing. The righteous are living, even though they are dead. They live in us, insofar as we live up to them. The righteous are living, even though they are dead. Amen.